Good morning, brethren. Shalom. We have the wonderful blessing of gathering in this day, a little bit cold in Chicago, and we welcome everyone online as well as the ones present here. Though we know that is not the day of our Lord's birth, or is not the, let's say, even the week, we welcome always the season. And we always, I think with the entire world, we think more towards the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will bring greetings, special greetings from my mother and my mother-in-law, and also from Brother Luciano Cacioppo. They are with us in spirit, and they are with us in some of the brethren online. We will look today at the most wonderful gift that was given to mankind, and I dare to say to the universe, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, in our hearts and minds, we cannot appreciate, and more we look into the personality of our Lord Jesus Christ and the multiple aspects of what he is, the Son of God, but at the same time the Son of Man, we can see some wonderful aspects. And I think a life of every single Christian, which means the follower of Christ, is determined as well as encompassed by how much love and how much closeness he gets to his Lord that he follows. We will start with this scripture, because it's always wonderful to have a scripture. And I have a lot of slides that some of them we will read in detail and some of them will go faster, just so we can cover the main thought, which is really looking and appreciating this wonderful gift more and more in our hearts and minds. And I know that not even a drop in the ocean will be said today to the effect of how wonderful our Lord is. We have a wonderful scripture known by us. In 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator, also between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. This is one of the most dear scriptures to us, because it points towards the ransom price, and it points in such a way, and is such a keystone and such a cornerstone that most of our dear Christian friends cannot understand, because it was not revealed yet to them by the Heavenly Father. Faith is a gift that comes from the Heavenly Father. The understanding of the scriptures and the understanding of our Lord Jesus comes according to the Bible through the revealment that God does through faith in our hearts and minds. We will not go in the most details that we very much know the fact that the man, Christ Jesus, is the anti-lutron, the exact corresponding price for the father Adam. It's very important to realize that this word, anthropos, comes here and it has the roots in Adam, referring to mankind. The fact that the man, Christ Jesus, comes here in this scripture, very well stated by Apostle Paul, it points to us that our Lord Jesus Christ, at his first coming, he was a perfect man. He was not God in flesh. And that makes the whole difference in the ransom price with all its wonderful ramifications. Even more so, we will look at our Lord Jesus Christ at this time, from, let's say, maybe even from a worldly point, but also from a point of him being our brother, our master, and our, also our forerunner. It was time, we read in the scriptures, when Jesus was born, that the whole nation of Israel was in expectation. Now, it's very interesting, they were in the expectation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But something really interesting happened when the one that was greater than Moses, the one that was greater than the tabernacle and greater than the temple, comes on the scene. And not only at his birth, but also after he gets baptized and during his mission. And Jesus rebukes them, saying that here among you stands one that is greater than the temple, and you do not recognize him. The nation of Israel, especially the scribes and Pharisees, they were so entangled in the spirit, in the letter of the law, that they completely forgot the spirit of the law. They completely forgot to look for the Messiah, which is the Son of Man that comes to redeem mankind and then deliver through deliverance. And this is the knowledge that we've been granted by the Heavenly Father. That's a huge shift to understand that our Lord came to deliver us from sin. And then through his blood, we have victory over death. That's one of the main points, that Israel has their faces still covered with a veil. The veil, as Apostle puts it, of unbelief in Jesus Christ. And how wonderful is to realize that through the man Jesus Christ, we have, and through the Spirit of God, we have victory over sin, and therefore victory over death. So we will go a little bit in some of the scriptures that are very familiar with us. And we will strive to pay attention to what the Bible and the scriptures tells us. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6, it's very interesting how Apostle Paul starts this chapter. First of all, then I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Pretty much Apostle Paul writes that our prayers should be for the authorities towards the fact that we might live peaceful, tranquil life, so we might serve the Lord and also preach the gospel. That's good in front of God. But look at the wonderful scripture that says here, it's in verse 4 and 5, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants first the people to be saved, and through this salvation, and in the process of this salvation, they come to the knowledge of the truth. In the Garden of Eden, remember the moment Adam and Eve approached the tree of knowledge, just like the Pharisees were getting so deep in knowledge, it departed them, it made them depart from the tree of life. Knowledge is not the utmost object in walking with Christ. Life is the utmost object in walking with Christ. Therefore, it's really important to realize that our Lord Jesus Christ comes to give life to the world, not to give knowledge to the world. That knowledge is part of that walking with the Lord and gaining life. That it's an extremely important principle. In the entire Gospels, you can see that. The end result is just like in the tabernacle, and just like we will see in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The utmost object is the life which is in God. So we will move forward. We establish from Matthew 26:63 and 64, when Jesus is in front of the great priest, and he is connecting the fact that he's answering to his question to the great priest, you are the Christ, the Son of God. He says, our Lord Jesus in verse 64 says, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ makes this connection Therefore, we have this authority to say that the Son of God, Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, is also the Son of man. We will look at a lot of scriptures with the Son of Man. And the Son of Man appears 107 times in the Hebrew Bible. That's the Old Testament. 93 times in the book of Ezekiel. And that's a study in itself, looking at wonderful features. In the New Testament, the Son of Man appears in a total of 94 times, most of them in the book of Matthew, which again shows the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Son of Man, after an extensive study, signifies and represents Christ's messiahship. And I think we all agree with this, but it's a wonderful study in itself to show how all the scriptures that were and all the prophecies from the Old Testament are encompassed in the man Jesus Christ and his messiahship. In Daniel 7:13-14, where it speaks about the 70 weeks, we have a wonderful statement showing one like the Son of Man coming, and it speaks about his wonderful kingdom that will have no end. And that kingdom and that wonderful kingdom that was in God's plan of salvation from before the beginning of the world is started when Jesus became flesh. And we read the scripture that we know, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Now look at this wonderful, and we have the wonderful study of the tabernacle in Exodus during the week. Do you know that that word dwelt among us? It's the skino word, which is actually means the tabernacle. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we saw his glory, glory as one of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's a wonderful thing to realize that God sent his Son from the glory to tabernacle among us. And all the sacrifices and all the rituals that happened, the law, rituals that happened, signifying and pointing towards the fact that our Jesus Christ is the Messiah promised, is the one that will bring joy to the world. And we have the wonderful scriptures from Hebrews 10:20. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. By his sacrifice, he opened this new and life-giving way. Now we read in Matthew 1, because most of our friends, Christian friends, are reading this at this time. And I think it's wonderful to see this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son. And they call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And we have the scriptures in Matthew 2 in regards to Bethlehem, land of Judah. And we see that the shepherds, the people of Israel, they see the star. The shepherds are being told by the angels that Jesus is born, and they go and they worship the Lord. So through divine revelation, the shepherds, the humble ones of Israel, come to the knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. In verses 10 and 11, we have the Magi's coming because they see the star. So through the understanding maybe of the prophecies, many agree that those Magi's were the Magi's that were from the Israelis or the Jewish people that were left in Babylon, and they had maybe the prophecies of Daniel, and they were looking in depth. We surely don't have thus says the Lord, but we think that they were familiar with the prophecies, at least of Daniel, and maybe even the books of Moses. They see the star, and they come. That also pictures, it might pictures to us, that the entire science world and entire Christianity will come to the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God and He's the Messiah. That might be one of the pictures. Now, at the same time when Jesus was born, within the 2 years period, maybe less, we see the prophecy from Matthew 2:6. And actually, it's not a prophecy, it's a fulfillment of a prophecy. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be confronted because they were no more. So the coming of the Son of Man, and as any meeting with the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ in our lives, produces either exceeding great joy or exceeding great pain or mourning. Because there's absolutely no meeting that you can have with such a wonderful being, either in spirit or back then in flesh, that will leave the world the same way. Even the world, this is a parenthesis, and I will share with you, one of the Christians that suffered during the communism many, many years in prison, he was telling the guards in prison and the judge that even the Communist Party believes in Jesus Christ. And they said, that's a blasphemy, that's impossible. Says, give me the newspaper of today. And he was handed the newspaper of today during the court. And said, what does it say here? September 1st, 1977. 1977 since when? And they said, we don't really know. He says, since the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you put on the first page every day that Jesus Christ was born. So it's an interesting aspect to see that the change in the history of mankind that was made by the coming and the becoming of flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ did not leave any, I would say, atom in our earth atmosphere unchanged towards good or towards as it says here, towards weeping or mourning. Now, how wonderful is to know that Jesus Christ, he says to the scribes and Pharisees, the kingdom of God is among you. The fact that he was the seed of that kingdom, and he represented that kingdom. And as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4-5, that God wants all men to come to the knowledge of truth. How wonderful is to know that through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, most of the mankind will exceedingly rejoice and be blessed. We will move forward, and excuse me, we will go through some slides a little bit faster because I see the time seems to go faster than usual. We have the first time that the Son of Man appears in the Gospels, as we have them in order, is in Matthew 8:19-20. And it might be a lesson in itself, in verse 20, that our Lord says that he has nowhere to lay his head. That really shows the fact that he served God, and all his life was dedicated for the Spirit, and for serving God, and for his mission to pay the ransom price. the uniqueness of the Son of Man, the fact that he is unique. That's what we intend to look from this point on towards the end of our presentation. The fact that our Lord Jesus Christ was so unique that we have to clearly distinguish him in order to give him the proper honor, to make sure that we see that he is the only one, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So the Lord says, scriptures very familiar to us, but look at this. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from the heaven, the Son of Man. And we know this refers to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the life giver, and he is the only one that can say that truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. Only the Lord could say, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that could say that thing. Only the Lord was able to give the sign, which is the sign of Jonah. That will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Only the Lord has the authority to forgive sins on earth. The Son of Man is the sower. It's quite interesting when we read and we study the wonderful parables of our dear Lord Jesus. And in Matthew 13:37, when he explains the parable, he says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And only the Son of Man can send his angels to gather out from his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. The authority belongs only to the Son of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is Christ, Son of the living God. And Peter makes this wonderful testimony. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here is the scripture that really shows us that the understanding of this very deep statement is given only through only by the Father through the Holy Spirit. Because in verse 17 it says, that blessed are you, Simon Barjona, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The Son of God in glory, and we know how he will come in glory of his Father with his kingdom. We also see the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ, as being like a Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, in Revelation 1:13. We know that the Son of Man was resurrected from the dead. The mission of the Son of Man, Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's his mission. And in Mark 10:45 we read, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We talk about the sign of the Son of Man to this generation, and the Lord tells the Hebrew scribes and Pharisees that that's the sign that's going to be given to them. And even if that sign was given, we know the fact that they did not believe as a nation. The sign of the Son of Man is different from the Son of Man as a sign. When we read in Matthew 24:30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky in those days. We have to testify about the most wonderful Lord, our Lord Jesus. We should not be ashamed. The ones that are on high schools or college campuses or interact with people more and more, even in the planes or in traveling, you see a lot of people wearing T-shirts with about the Bible or Jesus Christ. That's an open door to testify to whoever we can about the wonderful knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even more, we can go a step forward to look for an ear to hear and to really testify and confess Him before men. We already looked that our Lord Jesus came as a servant. The sacrifice of the Son of Man, we know how the Lord was given in the hands of the sinners to pay the ransom price and to come to a fruition and to a fulfillment of His sacrifice. And we have the wonderful scriptures in Matthew 26, 2, 4, 2, 45, 63 through 64. And for that sacrifice and that faithfulness in the sacrifice, the Heavenly Father gave Him to sit at the right hand of God. The days of the Son of Man, as we have them in Luke 17, 24, 26, and 30, it also speaks about the flashes and the lightnings that are coming with this coming, second coming of our Lord. Just as in the first coming of our Lord, there was a light in the sky and there were angels singing. We think that at the second coming, based on this scripture and a few others, there is much lightning going around the world, especially in the present truth, in the knowledge of the present truth, as well as in understanding the scriptures and the prophetical fulfillment of the scriptures, in the revealment of the ways the society and mankind has become so corrupted and so disturbed at every level, and how much we need the kingdom of God to fix this darkness that's around us. But we have the promise that the morning is coming, yet is darker than the night in some aspects. The eternal honor of the Son of Man is showed in Luke 22, 69, and in John 1, 51, where we see that the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God, and also the fact that the angels of God were ascending and descending on the Son of Man, starting from the time when He was the man, Jesus Christ. In regards to the fullness of Christ, we have a few scriptures, but we will go fast over them just to show that part of the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ that came into the world, it was to elect a church and to have fullness in Jesus Christ. The fullness can happen only in Jesus Christ. And these are many scriptures that you know them very well. I just put them here and another page so we can see the fact that the only fullness that we all crave from the moment we are being baptized till the moment that by God's grace we will be changed is to reach fullness in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the most wonderful endeavor that we might do in our walk on this earth. We also have the wonderful scriptures from Ephesians 1, 22, 23, Ephesians 3, 19. And look in Romans 5, 17, how wonderful Apostle Paul connects this. For if by the transgression of the one, which is Adam, death reigned through the one, Adam and the family, much more those who receive the abundance or fullness of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now we will go to some scriptures that you very well know, and the questions are more for our, let's say, heart and the feelings that we think when we think about our Lord Jesus Christ. Who had a star in the sky at His birth but our Lord Jesus Christ? Who else? Who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is just our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Who is the good shepherd that gives his life for his sheep? Who died for us? In whose name are we baptized? And this is one of the main arguments, if you remember, that Apostle Paul brings to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, when he speaks about the divisions that already started to take place in the early church. And he says, who died for you? We had the previous slide. In whose name are you baptized? If Jesus died for us and in his name we are baptized, let's give him the honor that he deserved. And the joy of our life should be into looking into his words and in his life and come into such a closeness to what he said and what he did that we might praise his holy name. In whose name do we pray? And look at this wonderful promise that the Lord Jesus is giving us, that he says that until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So God and our Lord Jesus Christ really wants us to be joyful and happy. And how wonderful manna texts we have, and I'm sure some of you remember, I don't remember the exact date, that our dear brother Russell says, we cannot have enough rejoicing Christians. And the rejoicing of the Christians many times is manifested, I think, through singing. If you find yourself singing in the car or singing in the house or even humming, I think you can say that you are quite joyful. Whose love compels us? Whose love makes us come at the meetings and at the conventions? And I don't know if you tell your friends that you travel somewhere in the country and you spend your weekends to be with some Christians from the morning to the evening, or in Europe, or even farther, some of us, Africa, they might think, why would you do that? Maybe once for an experience, but again and again and again. And how many brethren you have in America that were pilgrims and sisters? How many that we don't know through the gospel age that went and they were preaching? And we have some wonderful preachers that we look when the Bible started to be printed, and wonderful, wonderful Christian, and the Lord will reward those that are his, that were preaching many sermons, sometimes twice a day, if you look through Ireland, through Wales, through Europe. And some of them were really persecuted, and quite a few were also martyred, or they were killed because they witness or they testify about the name of Jesus Christ. In Daniel 9:24, we have a scripture that really points towards the most holy one anointed, about our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is but him? And that shows again his messiahship. Who is the shining morning star from Revelation 22:16? And it's so wonderful that it's the same star that Apostle Peter speaks, that we should strive and pray and live close to him until the morning star shines or rises up in our hearts. So it's the same morning star, and how wonderful that a star was on in the heavens at his birth. Who is our hope, as we read in 1 Timothy 1:1? But Jesus Christ, he is our hope. Who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, as we read in Revelation 21:6? Who is the great merciful priest? And we might say, who is the priest according to the order of Melchizedek? But our Lord Jesus Christ. In whose name is there forgiveness of sin? As we read in Hebrews 10:18. But where there is forgiveness of sins, no offering for sins is needed. Once our Lord Jesus Christ, as the sin offering, lived his life for 3.5 years and came to a fruition to pay the ransom price on Golgotha, and the forgiveness of sin took place through the blood and through his merit, there is no need for a sin offering, because the sins were wiped away through his blood. Therefore, you are clean. Who is the author of eternal salvation, as we read in Hebrews 5:7-10? This is wonderful to realize that he is the author, in the sense of he is the beginning or the beginner and the end of our salvation. So what does that mean? That means like a craftsman that stays from the beginning to the end. He has already in his mind that he's crafting the bride or his son. And if he's the one that starts, he is true and faithful to finish the work. We have to be the clay that allows to be molded in his hands. And how wonderful that he is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life, as we read in John 11:25. And only about him we can say this. He is also the Lion of David. And therefore we should not weep. We should greatly rejoice, because we know that he, Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. We know that Jesus is the light of the world, and also that whoever follows him would never walk in darkness, but shall have the eternal life, or the light of life. How many times we do not walk in darkness? And it's one of the worst things in any field not to know what you're doing. Just opening a new program on the computer or getting some updates on some of the tools that we have. It feels like we have chains. And it's something we use and something that easy and simple. But how wonderful to know that we have our Lord Jesus Christ, and he came into this world. And because we follow him, we should not walk in darkness, but in light. And how many deceptions are out there in this world? Looking at everything in this day and age, many are saying that you cannot even find the truth or the all truth in any field. But how much more we are blessed and we are rejoicing that we know that we can find the truth in our Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because he says that whoever stays with me, I will reveal him the Father, just as the Father has revealed himself to me. Who is the true vine? Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is the true vine. Who is the bread of life? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the living bread that came down from the heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So we see the word has become flesh, perfect, second Adam, that gave his life, gave his flesh in order to save the world and to give life to the world. This is a wonderful, wonderful aspect that we see in the Messiahship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 17:14 is telling us that our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and also is the Lord of Lords. And those who are with him are called chosen, are called chosen and faithful. Dear brethren, we can each read the conclusion of our Lord, which he has in the Sermon of the Mount. And again, he's the only one that can have that wonderful sermon that he has on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And also in Luke 21, 33 through 36, we read this of our dear Lord. heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to share a couple of things before we conclude in regards to how do we know that we have the sonship and how are we assured day by day that the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus is the Lord of our life, and the Heavenly Father is our Heavenly Father. Just a few points. We have in Daniel that the wise will understand. That's one of the signs. We have in John 1 the fact that we are the sons of God, and we are led by the Spirit of God if we look into the spiritual things more and more. We are friends of our dear Lord, and we behold the Heavenly Father face to face. We are promised that if we partake from His blood and from His flesh, we are bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh, as Christ head and body. We will recognize Him as the shepherd of the sheep. My sheep know my voice, and they do not walk after anyone. I think every single sermon that we hear, every single thought that we hear, wherever we hear, we have to compare it with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to compare it with the words of the apostles. And we have to have that discerning ear, and how blessed we are that we can discern the present truth through the mercy of God. I'll give you an example which many of our Christian friends don't discern. And this might be, it's very simple for us in a way. But on the other hand, the lesson that is drawn is that we really have to pay attention to make sure that whatever we present here and whatever we hear should be according to the Word of God. Most of the Christian pastors are asking for money. Do you know that our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles never ask for money? This is a very interesting aspect. They never ever ask for money. Why? It's not the question why so many, let's say, so-called Christian leaders are asking for money or other religions. The big question is how come so many Christians send so much money? The answer, I think, is because they do not read the Word of God. If we do not read the Word of God as well, we might be trapped here or there. That's a very sobering thought. The fact that so many, if you look at the percentage, it's just amazing. And they, most of them think it's generous. But we see they donate, it's a wonderful thing to donate and help the ones in need, to be a good Samaritan. It's a completely different thing to send the money to a person that maybe buys airplanes or something bigger or smaller. Therefore, let's be thankful, let's rejoice for the fact that we understand the wonderful blessing that is our Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, which died as a ransom price for all mankind. May the Lord forgive us for anything said amiss, and may your Christmas preparations be blessed, and may our meditation be pleasing to the Heavenly Father as we look more and more at our Lord Jesus Christ.